San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, February 14, 2021. It's St. Valentine's Day, and our message this morning is Whispers of Love with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. So, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day. Is this, look at all the red. Everybody's got red. Oh, welcome home. Welcome home where our hearts are right here on Valentine's Day. So let's just anchor ourselves in right now. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call that God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And we repeat this every Sunday. We do this because it's the truth. It's a universal spiritual principle. There is a power greater than we are in the universe, and we can use it. We can use it. Why can we use it? Because we are a part of it. We truly are a part of it. So this morning's lesson, our theme for 2021 is Living in Faith and Wisdom. And of course, February is love. That's our theme for the month. And today's lesson is Whispers of Love. Whispers of Love. And when I looked at the 365 Science of Mind and I saw what it was saying about today, because we are going by this for today in our lessons, and the title for today is actually I Accept My Good. But how is it that we do that? And then I started thinking, well, it's Valentine's Day, and I realized that Whispers of Love would be an appropriate title because there is so much about whispers of love in both the spiritual and the human realm. God speaks when we listen. We hear these whispers deep in our heart. We hear this still small voice. We hear this inner voice. You can call those the whispers of love. It's entirely appropriate that as we are working through the season for nonviolence, today is day 16. And the season for nonviolence is where we recognize the bookend dates of January 30th and April 4th, which are the assassination dates of Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. And so we take that period of time between those violent events, and we call that a season of nonviolence, where we are committed to 64 different ways for those 64 days to commit to nonviolence. And so for today, day 16, this kind of goes right here with the whispers of love. It's today I will affirm my value and worth with positive self-talk and refuse to put myself down. And that ties right into what Reverend Mark had in his meditation and in his opening this morning. And when I was listening to him talk about that, I thought, wow, he's touched on everything in my talk right here in his meditation. So thank you, Reverend Mark.
One voice.
Naturally, yes, one mind, one voice. So let us say this together. It's on your program inserts, Season for Nonviolence, Day 16. Today. I will affirm my value and worth
with positive self-talk
and refuse to put myself down.
refuse to put myself down.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Yes. Refuse to put myself down. That self-talk is usually made up of all of the doubts that we have had through all of our life, from the time we were little teeny tiny to yesterday or to even this morning. So when we consciously become aware of what we are saying to ourselves, we can then respect ourselves. And that's important. That's really important. In the 365 Science of Mind on page 51, it says, God speaks when we listen. God is there when we open the door. And when we listen, there is a response from something greater than ourselves, that is infinite person, the limitless possibility. God speaks wherever and whenever we listen to our inner voice. God is there when we open the door. And this morning's music, Love Song by Elton John, Love is the opening door. It's actually called Love Song, but when I refer to it, I always say, love is the opening door, because that's like the first line. And I love that song. I love that song. It is one that has been played at many, many weddings, because we want to leave behind individual lives that we knew, and we want to create this new life. Not leave behind completely, but leave behind the focus on the individual. When there is a marriage, there is partner number one, partner number two, and there is the marriage. The marriage, the union of the partners. It is a unique entity unto itself. Even though you have two people coming into it, it creates this new relationship where if one of the partners had a relationship with family, with friends, whatever, their relationship with those people now changes because they are a part of a union. And so whatever either partner did with other friends before, you can still do that, but you have to keep in mind that you are not completely independent anymore. You are part of a couple. You are part of a union. And the best way to not have problems in your marriage or your union is to remember that. To remember that. Now, I am not saying, make sure you understand, I'm not saying that you are no longer an independent person. I'm saying you've made a commitment to a third entity, the entity of your union. So let's diverge a little bit. And we'll go to this human part right now, and then we'll return to the spiritual. Love. Love is everything. It truly is. Love is everything. But one of the things that we also know is that love makes requests. Love does not make demands. There is no demand on any of us to do or say or be anything. There is simply love. And it is that still small voice inside that inspires us. We are made of love, and we are made to love. There is a human need for connection. And that's related to our spiritual knowing that there is an inherent oneness in all of us. So we know inherently, deeply, spiritually, when we remember where we came from, we know that we are all one. So it makes no sense to isolate ourselves from others. The only reason people truly isolate themselves is because of experiences they have had in the human realm. Babies are not born wanting to be apart from everyone. Babies are born into a community, into the community of family, the neighborhood, into a life where people are, where people live. And they are born spiritually with this sense of oneness. But once they get here, they have to learn to speak the language. Speaking of languages, there is a book called The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. And it's by Gary Chapman. Since this is Valentine's Day, I thought it's a good day to cover these five love languages. These are five ways that people speak and understand emotional love. We're not talking about unconditional love, spiritual love, all of this. We're talking about emotional love, romantic love, love between two partners, the human love. And there are five ways. Gary Chapman has determined that there are five ways that people speak and understand this emotional love. In his book, he says, seldom do partners have this same primary emotional love language. We tend to speak our primary love language, and we become confused when our partner does not understand what we are communicating. We are expressing our love, but the message does not come through because we are speaking what to them is a foreign language. If we want him or her to feel the love we are trying to communicate, we must express it in his or her primary language. Trust me, he's right. He's absolutely right. From my vast experience all of my life, I know that this is right. And in retrospect, I can see where someone I truly loved, that I felt didn't love me, was showing me constantly how much they loved me and felt that I didn't love him. But when you get into that both of you doing everything you can to show your love for this other person and feeling at the same time that you are unloved because you're not understanding that they are showing you this love, it is displeasing, unsatisfying. It is disappointing. It is emotionally damaging. Because when someone is trying to show you their love and you don't recognize that that's how they show their love, you will feel unloved. So here were my former husband and I, in love, trying so hard to show each other how much we loved each other, and both of us feeling completely unloved. If I had known about the five love languages at that time, if the book had even been out, we could have done something about it. We could have communicated better, but we were speaking foreign languages to each other. Foreign languages. So what are these five languages? The first is words of affirmation. Well, I'll go through the five and then I'll talk about it. Words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, receiving gifts, and physical touch. These are five basic love languages. And everybody has a primary love language. For words of affirmation, that involves giving somebody verbal compliments every time they do something that's good. Giving them verbal compliments. You look nice in that shirt. Wow, you smell great. Dinner smells wonderful. You washed the car for me. Thank you. All of these little things that are being done. We want to compliment and be grateful. Because people normally who have as their primary love language acts of service need to be acknowledged. They need to be acknowledged. My former husband washed both of our vehicles every weekend. And I thought, well, you know, he's already got everything out. He's washing his Jeep, washing my car. He just did it. I didn't say thank you. Because I didn't realize that this was a gift he was giving me. Washing my car was a gift of love he was giving me. So words of affirmation, compliments, you did a good job, acknowledging that your partner did something, that you recognize it, means that you recognized that they made an effort at something. They are trying to show you they love you. Quality time. Now, quality time is undivided attention. It's not sitting in the living room, having the TV on, and you both happen to be there. No, it is undivided attention. Sitting there talking to each other, communicating, or going for a walk. Going to do something that you both enjoy doing. Golfing, playing tennis, all these different things, doing a craft, working on a project. Spending time with your undivided attention. Because what you're doing in that time of undivided attention is you're listening. You're listening to what matters to your partner. And if you're working on a project together, you can be of support to each other. And being supportive of each other is a gift of love. Receiving gifts. The thing about the person who shows giving and receiving gifts, the gifts don't have to be expensive, okay? Because the gift is not a thing, it is a symbol. The gift is a visual symbol of love. I am giving you this part of me, this piece of me, this greeting card that says, I love you. I'm giving you a new scarf, a new mask. I'm giving you a candy bar. John, rather than like lots and lots and lots of chocolates that people give each other on Valentine's Day, John always brought me a Snickers bar. Always got me a Snickers bar because I love Snickers bars. And the fact that he brought me a Snickers bar for Valentine's Day said he loved me. He understood me. He knew what would make me happy. So these gifts, they are symbols of love. So when someone gives you stuff that you don't need or you're not going to use, or don't look at it, oh God, they got me some more junk. Because this is a symbol of their love for you. Acts of service. This is an interesting one. I touched on it a little earlier, that, you know, here's my former husband washing the car, mowing the lawn, doing all of these things that husbands, quote unquote, are supposed to do when you have a large piece of property. And what I wanted was I wanted quality time. I wanted him to be sitting there with me, and instead he's out rototilling the yard and putting in gardens and painting and, you know, all these things to show me how much he loves me. And I'm saying, you're always gone. You're never here. People who show their love through acts of service, that's doing things that you know your partner would like you to do. He knew I wanted my car clean. He washed the car. He knew I was busy with the kids, the baby, you know, he helped with the babies. He helped with the yard. He helped with all these different things. He helped with the laundry. I mean, ideal. And if you write down a list of what would be ideal behavior, there he was doing it. But I didn't feel the love because I didn't recognize it. The reason these are acts of love is because the person is seeking to please. They want to please their partner by serving them. They express their love by doing things. Now think in your mind. Do you know anybody who is a gift giver? Always giving gifts, always giving you things that you think you don't need. Yeah, I think everybody should know one of those. Now, think when you were a kid and you drew a picture or you made something in school and you brought it home and showed it to your mom or your dad and they said, wow, that's lovely. Or you picked a flower and brought it home to mom. Wow, that's lovely. You did it because you love your mom or your dad. You want to please your mom or your dad. You know that when you give them something, they are pleased. You know, they put it up on the refrigerator. They take the flowers, put them in a little vase in the kitchen window, whatever it is they do with them. It's an act of love. Expressing love by doing things. And the people who express love by doing things, words of affirmation are good ways to let them know that you are acknowledging that these are acts of love. It also is nice to write them a little thank you note, because since they believe that doing things are acts of love, they are looking for you to do things, to acknowledge that they are doing things. So, if I could go back into the 80s, I would know. And Larry and I could have sat down and I said, I got it now, okay? So let's, you know, you give me things and do all these acts of service, I'll come do some of them with you so that we can have quality time. The final one is physical touch. More than just the obvious, physical touch is expansive. The human body has all these nerves and sensory receptors all over. So it's not just the intimacy of a union. It is holding hands, putting your arm around somebody, giving them a hug, kissing, helping them up when they're sitting down. Touch, just plain touch. And this is a very powerful one. And a lot of unions can be, it's a make or break in a relationship around physical touch, if one of them has physical touch. Because the touching can communicate love or hate. We want to make sure that we are always communicating love with our touch. We never want to touch anyone in anger. With all these sense receptors, every part of our body is sensitive. So one of the physical touch things could be giving somebody a massage. It could be just petting their hair. John and I both had this one. He would pet my hair, and he would get it all tangled up. And I would have to unknot it. We would be sitting next to each other, holding hands, and one of the hands would be held on one of the other of our thighs. And always the kiss. We even, at church, at the downtown community church, when Reverend Michael Carney was in charge of one of the events that we had, John was there, and we were dating at the time. And I was there working, and my job was to let the people go through the processional, ministerial processional. So I'm standing there, and as John gets up to me, he gives me a kiss. Reverend Michael goes, "Hey, no kissing the staff." It's like, "No, wait a minute, it's John." So I want to demonstrate for you what physical touch is like, because I can describe the other ones, but we've got hands. We can do this, all right? So I want you to take a nice, calming breath, and then take your right hand and kind of open it up so your pinky is out. You can see your pinky. And then rest your pinky right between your eyebrows and very lightly rub straight up your forehead. Now you feel that not just in your hand, but in your forehead. You're going right across your third eye. Feel that. That's a lot of energy. That's a lot of just between the pinky finger and the one line in your forehead. That's a lot of sensory input. So physical touch, that's an important thing. When you're trying to figure out what your partner's primary love language is and what yours is, listen to your partner's criticisms. Because their criticisms about the behavior will provide us with the clues to what their primary love language is. I'm telling Larry, "You're never home. You're always gone. You're always doing something. I want him with me. I want him with me." So if we had known about these, quality time. The woman who says, "You never do anything. You never help. You never help vacuum. You never help with the dishes. You never help with the kids. You know, you leave your stuff all around. You don't pick up after yourself." Acts of service. She wants him to help out because that's how she feels like she's loved when someone's doing something for her. So these are, that's the physical side, the human side. And remember that human wanting to connect is because we know spiritually we are one. In 365 Science of Mind, again on page 51, it says, there is a presence in the universe that is personal to us. It is the spirit of which we are the direct individualizations. Whenever we create an idea, it is because a demand has been made upon the mind of God that is incarnated in us. Whenever we create an idea, it's because a demand has been made on the mind of God that is incarnated in us. We mentally measure out what we shall receive in terms of the limitations of our previous experiences. But little by little, we see that we can grow and experience adds to experience until we accumulate an ever greater possibility. Each one of us is a direct inlet and direct outlet to God. We are an inlet. We receive all that God is. We are an outlet. We express all that God is. You could almost think of our bodies as like a water hose. Spirit coming in, spirit flowing out. But not exactly, because we are spirit. So it's not like some foreign entity, something from out there is moving through us, because there is no out there. It's all right here. The infinite personalness residing within us is never limited by, or separated from us, except by the degree of our own ignorance. Our inner voice is always instantly available to guide and direct us through the vicissitudes of living. The whispers of love, the inner voice, it's always here, always. All we need to do is take breath, breathe in deeply, breathe out, and the world starts to calm around us. Why? Because we are oxygenating our brain and we are connecting with that deeper peace, that inner sense of the divine. What is something that we can do for ourselves, you know, related to the self-talk, knowing that God speaks when we listen? What can we do for ourselves? We can look in the mirror every day. If it's before noon, say, you'll look at your image and say, good morning. I love you. Now, the reason you want to say good morning is you want to greet and acknowledge yourself. You want to know this is who you are speaking to. Then when you say, I love you, this is the divine, unconditional love. Not, I love how you look today, I love your shirt, I love your that. But that's why you need to make the connection. Good morning. Recognition. I love you. Because if you just say, I love you, all of our self-doubt can come up. Really? Really? You make faces, but when you do that first acknowledgement, good morning, or good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, but you look right into your own face, into your own eyes, and you say this, you are connecting powerfully with the one power, the one presence that is always there. You are focusing your attention on this image of God, this image of God right before you. You are looking with the eyes of God as soon as you acknowledge with your good morning. And you are looking into the eyes of God, yourself. Whenever we look with the eyes of God, when we look at someone else, as soon as we look deeply, we are seeing the God presence. We are seeing the wholeness, the spiritual essence. We are seeing that divine that is each and every one of us. Even when our eyes are closed, we are seeing the wholeness of who they are. That's what we can do for ourselves. We can do that for ourselves. We can do that with others. And love, the whispers of love. I want you to know that boundaries are self-love. Boundaries are how you respect yourself. You say, I am here, I am love, I am lovable, I am loving. And somebody tries to tromp all over you and say, oh, you're worthless, you know, you're no good, and all these different things, and you just go, nope. Or somebody tries to guide you, well, you need to come with me to go do this. Nope, I'm standing right here. This is my place to be. This is my life to live. I am a direct inlet and a direct outlet as God essence here. I'd like us all to do an affirmation. Are you okay with just following along? Faithful, trust in me? Cool. Okay, so place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today, I listen with complete faith and trust to the voice of love guiding me today. I accept the abundant good that flows easily and freely to me. I am loving and generous to all others. My whole mind is open to the divine influx.
My whole mind is open to the divine influx
of joy, love,
wisdom,
and guidance.
My life prospers.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So take a nice deep breath. That's a powerful affirmation. You are open. You have claimed, you have declared yourself open to a divine influx of joy, love, wisdom, and guidance. Your life is prospering right here and right now. And that, truly that, is thrilling. Thrilling. You see what else I have here? Whispers of love. The spiritual whispers, the emotional whispers, the whispers inside of our own head, our own thoughts. Listen to a voice inside your head whispering right now. I love you. I love you. I love you. There is a quote I'm probably going to mess up, but it goes like this. The universe is standing on tiptoes, looking at every blade of grass and saying, grow, grow, grow. And it's saying grow because it is love. And love makes things grow. So thank you for your time and your attention.